stop looking at porn and win back your freedom for smart, family-oriented men who want to learn to sustainably let go of porn in a way you can enjoy and look forward to. Learning to be proud of the man you are and making life so good that porn becomes irrelevant. I'm Danny Pullman. I'm a certified life coach, and I've been coaching guys on this for many years now, and have been in the porn quitting game for years beyond that. I'm using this podcast to share what I've learned and what I continue to learn on the way with real client examples from the hands-on work I do with clients day in and day out. This is a movement. It is happening. Join with us and start winning against porn now. Hey, real quick before we get in the show, which will have better audio and a better mic than this, don't worry. I have a brand new free training I'm offering, and yes, it is even new and different from the one a couple months ago. I wanted to redo it to make it even better and even more me. It's called the Fearless Freedom from Porn Training, How to Achieve Ultimate Victory Over Porn. It is the most value I have offered in a single free resource before. I'll give a few more details on it at the end of the episode, so check for that. But I'm putting a link in the show notes so that you can reserve your seat. And of course, it's totally confidential and private. I'm so excited to share this with you. It really is an essential starting point for you if you are trying to quit an unwanted porn habit in a way that lasts. I wish I heard this stuff way early in the process for me, so I'm sharing it with you. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the How to Stop Looking at Porn and Win Back Your Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pullman, and I have a special guest today with me on the episode. This is Michael Beatty, a past client of mine. Go ahead and say hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
So good to have you here. Thanks for doing this. What we're doing today, everybody, is we're going to go through Michael's story, and he's going to share with you why he came to me in the first place and what things really worked for him to create success that was at new levels for him, which was just awesome to watch. And why we're doing this is for all of you listening. Yes, we want to show how amazing Michael is, and we want to show what a great coach I am. Yeah, we're cool. But also, this is for you. We want you to see that people are making these types of changes regularly and powerfully. And the more that you can see that and fill your mind with examples of that, the more you can see that you can do it too. And that's the whole point of us sharing these types of podcasts with you, is I want you listening right now to know that this is possible for you, that you can make changes like this too. And that's why we're doing it. Thanks again, Mike, for being here. Is there anything you wanted to tell people or introduce yourself before we get started?
Yeah. My name is Mike. Happy to be here. Happy to have a chance to just share my success in working with Danny. And yeah, just happy to do the podcast and see if it can help others who are listening.
I'm sure it will. I get good feedback from episodes like these ones. These are some of the favorites. All right. Let's start out with the first question. Why don't you tell everybody what your absolute biggest challenge was prior to coming to me, and yeah, just share where you were at.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there were two challenges that inspired me to go work with Danny. Number one, my wife and I had been having struggles for 3, 4, or 5 years maybe, and I was really struggling with her weight, her physical appearance. She knew that, and it was starting to really affect our marriage. And then I also was struggling with PMO as well. And I had struggled previous in life, maybe a decade ago, with PMO. And then I hadn't had any more struggles for maybe 7, 8, 9 years. But then it started to creep back up as my wife and I were struggling with the things in our marriage. So that's what prompted me to come work with Danny.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. And what I loved about working with Mike is he's just so willing to look at his stuff and own his stuff. That's where coaching really fits with guys, because this is meant to be a very zero judgment space, this type of coaching. And I remember that was one of the first things we talked about early on together too, is let's check in when we're judging ourselves for the patterns that we're just looking at together in your brain, right? Because the more we can take that judgment out and just look at the patterns, the more power there is to bring those up, get intentional, release stuff that doesn't serve you anymore, practice new things that do serve you more, and retrain your brain to help you create the results you want in your life, right? And anyway, I just love that Mike is just willing to own his stuff. I always thought that was so impressive. And also, I just want to point out. Go ahead.
Since you mentioned that, the judgment-free zone. So prior to working with you, I had worked with two or three other coaches and or therapists, and you were the first person that really just dove into that judgment-free zone, just always checking with myself. Don't judge yourself. It's okay. You're at where you're at. Keep practicing. And the results that I got with you in the 5 or 6 months that we worked together, just 10x'd the results that I had gotten from previous coaches. And I think a lot of it came to that judgment-free zone type thing that you kept just preaching and preaching of, don't judge yourself, just keep practicing.
That's so cool. Yeah, and that's the power of doing it that way. I do make a point of emphasizing that, but also notice the power, your own power that you use to practice that, right? Like, I can bring a judgment-free mentality to the sessions for my clients, but if they don't actually practice within themselves, noticing when they are judging themselves and then redirecting to non-judgment and more just curiosity and compassion, that's where they tap into their own power more. And it, like you said, for you, it 10x. That's so cool. That's so cool to hear. So, okay. So then, yeah, tell me a bit more, like, how did you feel about these issues that you came to me to begin with? How was it making you feel at the time?
Well, initially I was really discouraged. I was really down. I was frustrated because I had been working on these same issues with previous therapists and coaches for probably a good 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And after working with the coaches or the therapists prior to you and not seeing like hardly any results at all, or at least not feeling like I was making progress, it was just really discouraging. Then I got introduced to you and I started listening to your podcast. I thought, I'll give this another shot. I'll go work with another coach and see how it goes, because you came highly recommended. And it was very quick to see like progress just start to take off. But initially I was super frustrated.
And you dropped the frustration pretty quick. Got some quick progress. That's amazing. Yeah. And something else worth saying here is, guys don't come to me just for help with PMO. And when we say PMO, everybody, we mean porn and masturbation to orgasm, right? It's the short form way of saying that. And so, yeah, that's who I speak to. That's the main part of my messaging. But also one of the main parts of my messaging is that it's not really a porn problem. It's a thought problem. And Mike and I, we coached on a lot of things together, but I think we focused a lot on your relationship with your wife. What did you notice? Because what I'm always telling people is, when you work at the thought level, it affects all the areas of your life. Can you speak to that at all as far as using these thought work tools with this process, coaching on things that aren't exactly PMO specific, but still seeing the impact that has?
Yeah, the thought model, and this is probably overused in our, like, this term life changing is overused probably in our culture, but the thought model sincerely and truly is life changing. And you can apply it to anything, because yes, I did apply it to the PMO, but a lot of the work that Danny and I did related to the issues I was having in my marriage with my wife. And that thought model just takes you back to, what are your thoughts? What do your thoughts drive everything? As opposed to allowing circumstances or feelings to drive things. You just always come back to your thought. And I'm continually practicing that now. Every day, I feel myself working on my thoughts, refocusing my thoughts, channeling my thoughts, because your thoughts drive everything. Your thoughts drive your feelings. They drive your actions. They drive your results. So it's really just honing in on those thoughts, and you can apply it to anything in life.
Awesome. So tell me, what else was different about this coaching experience compared to other things that you tried in the past? You mentioned a few things to me before the call.
Yeah. Another thing that comes to mind is you'll have to remind me, Danny, what it's called. Is it the thought dumbbell? No, the thought ladder. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thought ladder. So the thought ladder was also very helpful in that thought model, because let's just take the issue that I was having with my wife, for example. I was struggling with her physical appearance, struggling with her weight. And what Danny taught me was, a lot of the struggles that I was having in focusing on her weight and her physical appearance were the thoughts I was having about her, the thoughts I was having about her weight. We started practicing on working on the thoughts that I wanted to have, positive thoughts that I wanted to have about my wife, positive thoughts that I wanted to have her as a person, her as a daughter of God, her as just her, anything about her in general. But some of the stuff that I wanted, some of the thoughts that I wanted to have, I knew I couldn't just immediately jump there. And so that thought ladder helped me get to, okay, what's one thought that I can believe and can focus on? And then once I got that one down, then I could go to the next thought that would help me get up to that ladder of where I eventually wanted to be in thinking about her.
Oh yeah, I love that. You really took to that one and had a lot of success with that particular tool. It's fun to watch. I remember you mentioning too about failure, just making room for failure. What can you share about any tweaks that you made to how you saw failure with this stuff, how you viewed it, and how you even started using it to create the changes you wanted?
Yeah, it was your approach with failure is very, it's very different. It's very enlightening. You're like, it's okay to fail. In fact, go fail, and just get curious about why perhaps you quote unquote failed, right? Or if you do PMO, instead of judging yourself and deeming that as a failure, get curious as to why. And then you even have worksheets of stuff you can write down and answer questions. It's okay. I just had a PMO moment. Get curious as to why, and go through those questions, those five or six questions, and figure out why. And the more you understand why you're doing the PMO, the better you're going to get at going where you want to get to.
So cool. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. And remember, everybody, part of what I'm doing here is I'm asking Mike these questions because he did create change. And if you can glean some of these strategies, approaches, tactics that he used to create that change, right? That's another thing that we're doing here. You also mentioned that rather than saying, this is what I should think or this is what I should believe or do, that shifting to what you want to do was the key for you. Yeah. What can you share about that?
Yeah, I do remember in our sessions, you always pointed out when I was, you call it shooting on myself. Mike, I think you're shooting on yourself.
Just big piles of
Yeah, it's
shit.
just that. Yeah. So more just focusing again on the results that I want, the thoughts that I want. And you always mentioned the shooting is more of you're judging yourself. You're judging yourself. That's not helpful, perhaps, in your progress, the progress you want to make. But let's focus on the thoughts that you want, focus on the things that you want. And I will say that Denny, you always say in our sessions that I could have done these things myself. I could have made this progress by myself. And I'm sure that's true, but I can't tell you how helpful it was in working with you and coming up with ideas of new thought, right?
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that were really helpful in working with you, but I think one of the top things in working with you is just being able to bounce ideas of, hey, let's try this thought. Let's try this thought this week. See how this thought goes. See if this is a thought you can believe and see if this thought helped change your feelings. And sometimes you and I would come up with thoughts in our sessions and I would try them for a week and we'd come back and I'd be like, yeah, that one didn't work. And you're like, that's fine. We tried it. Let's try a different one. And then we would just keep practicing and keep experimenting with different thoughts. But it was really helpful to be able to come up with those different thoughts, those different ideas with you in the session, because it would have been a much, much slower process to try and experiment with thoughts on my own.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I would just say that's been my same experience in my own self-coaching versus working with coaches for me, is especially when you can work with someone who's like in a certain area is just like a few steps down the road from where you are and where you're trying to get, right? Like they've been through something similar and they're just like a few steps over there in that one area. And why is that? Because they've already expanded their mind in some of these ways. And yeah, it's such a powerful thing about coaching is you're not just left to guess what a new helpful thought is. You actually get ideas that can really speed things up. So that's a good point. I love that. That's one of my favorite things about coaching, actually. Okay, then take us to the moment when you realized this process was actually working to solve your problem.
I don't know if there was like one enlightening moment. I'm not sure if I ever had that aha moment that happened where like in the movies where the light bulb goes off, right? Or the cartoons maybe. For me, I think it was just a gradual thing where I started to notice little by little that I was feeling better. I started to notice I had more energy. I started to get my positivity back. And like I would go through the week working on the stuff that you and I had talked about in the session. And, you know, a handful of times during the week that I was practicing, I would just all of a sudden be like, oh, like I feel good right now. I feel positive. I feel happy. And it wasn't all the time, right? I still had those moments of feeling frustrated and going through the hard parts. And those hard parts still occur. But I think for me, it was just more gradual. Oh, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling happier, little by little.
That's awesome. Yeah, you mentioned too the this is just one of the examples that you shared with me of one of the beliefs, right? We did so much of this, but you had a moment where I suggested that maybe men don't have to orgasm at least once a week or once a month and that you won't die, right? If you don't orgasm frequently. And part of your brain was like, "Wait, what?"
That was very powerful. I think actually the first time that you mentioned that to me was not in one of our one-on-one sessions, but it was in one of the group things.
Yeah.
And I had volunteered to be coached in the group because you always ask, hey, are you willing to be coached right now with the group? And you mentioned that to me, that guys don't have to orgasm every week or once every 2 weeks and they'll be okay. And I was like, my mind was just blown. I was like, wait a minute, I got to write that down. We got to talk more about that in our one-on-one session because it was a little bit mind-blowing.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
like learning and understanding that, and like you helping me to actually see that, realize that, learn how to allow and process those urges instead, that has been a huge game changer as well. To be like, oh, I'm feeling an urge right now. That's okay. I'm just going to feel it. I'm just going to allow it. I'm just going to process it. It won't be here forever. And I don't have to orgasm once a week or once a month. And I'm not going to die from it, regardless of what our culture tells us.
Yeah. I still remember the first time I heard that when I was like ready to hear it. Oh yeah. Maybe you don't die frequency and it can like that's funny. Okay, so you learned this skill of allowing and processing urges, and when you boil it down, it's oh, so you just be with the feeling and be present with it and let it come and go and say no to porn. It sounds like almost oversimplified. That sounds stupidly simple, right? But what did that just come immediately for you? Did it take some practice? Can you share what it was that helped you develop that skill? Was it just, oh, once you heard it, you could do it? Or was there a little bit of unwinding of old patterns? What can you share about that?
Yeah, that skill of allowing and processing, it is simple, but many times simple doesn't mean easy, right? Although it can be easy. I think that was the thing that you and I worked quite a bit on, and it didn't come, for me, it didn't come immediately, the allowing and processing, but I just stuck with it. I stuck with it. I stuck with it. You and I talked a lot about allowing and processing, but after, I don't know, after a month of practicing allowing and processing, I could see myself getting better at it. And then when I practiced another month at it, I could see myself getting even better at it. And then another month, I got even better at it. And after about 3 months, it was like, oh, like I've got some momentum going. I can do this. I know I can do this. I'm making some good progress. And I started to have more confidence. I'm like, yeah, I can allow and process. I can allow and process. And now, like on a scale of 0 to 10 of confidence in allowing and processing, I'm like at a 9, 9.5. Right. And you and I have been working together for 5 months. So I know that I'm going to even continue to get better and better at that too, the allowing and processing.
Yeah, you keep practicing, you'll get better. And that's one of those good examples too of how we coached on it in sessions, and there's such a power that comes from that, where seeing that awareness of what is it like, okay, it sounds simple to just feel the feeling and let it pass, but then also so many of our automatic brains have been programmed with all sorts of thoughts that make it actually really hard to just feel the feeling and be present with it. And that's where a lot of that work was that we did together was let's see what those patterns are that are getting in the way of having this be simple and easy like it can be. Because for a lot of guys, it's really hard at first, or just have a tough time kind of finding that sweet spot. And as you experience, the more that you can make room to identify the patterns that are blocking that, and then have your mind open to some new ways of approaching it and thinking about it, then it can become simple and even easy, right? And you can have a confidence level of 9 or 9.5. What would you say? Is there anything else you can share about what changed after going through this process, or what specific results you can share? Like, what does life look like now that your problem is solved or being solved?
Yeah, life now, with the PMO urges, again, I have a ton of confidence that I can just allow and process those urges when they come, because they are going to come. It's not like those urges I don't think are ever going to go away. And maybe that's a healthy thing, maybe it's not, I don't know. But I know that those urges are still going to come, but I just have a huge confidence level of being able to allow and process those. Whereas before, when those urges came, I just felt out of control. I felt like I had to go PMO or else I couldn't function. And but now it's just a whole different side of things. And then with the stuff that my wife and I were going through, relationship the last 6 months has just been a complete 180, where we're actually going on dates again. We're actually flirting every once in a while again. We're actually like smiling and having conversations, and we're starting to get happier again as well. So that's just a complete, and so those are the two biggest things, is just my thoughts about my wife are now more positive, and they're getting more and more positive. And then I also feel like I can allow and process urges.
That's so fun to hear. So fun to hear. And as you practiced with allowing urges, so you still have urges that come up, like you said. Have you noticed, on the one hand, your skill level on allowing and processing them has shot way up? Have you noticed a difference in the urges themselves in terms of how frequently they come, how long they stick around, how long or how intense they feel compared to what it used to be? What's that like now?
Yeah, good question. I would say the frequency is less. The frequency is less. And I think that goes back to a lot of just me now understanding that I don't have to orgasm and I'm not going to die from it type thing. So I would say frequency is less. The urges definitely are not as strong, even when they do come. But I will say that every once in a while, a very strong urge still comes. In fact, I had that moment about, I don't know, maybe less than a week ago. Like I had an urge and it was like a stronger one. And I just stopped and paused and like, okay, it's all right. I can feel this. Let me feel it and allow it and process it. It's not going to be here. It's not going to last for the next hour. And I just allowed it and processed it. And whereas 5 months ago, there's definitely no way I could have done that.
I wanted to point to everybody here, just based on something you said, the urges for porn are still going to come. I think it makes sense to make room for that. As long as it takes, I'm going to practice this stuff. As long as it takes, I think some important notes to make are you don't have to get rid of urges completely in order to feel completely in control and do a totally porn-free life. You can start doing that pretty early in the process when you build these skills and rewire your brain in this way. That being said, I still like to keep it very clear that urges for porn are not urges for sex. They're two different things. And I do believe that we can keep working our brains, training our brains to the point where we can eliminate urges for porn completely. I don't want to rule that out as an option or a possibility because porn is an unnatural thing. We're not born wanting it. And if you can learn it, you can unlearn it if you're a human, right? So just wanted to share that. You can take it or leave it, right? What were you going to say? Two other things that really impacted you.
No, I appreciate that. That's actually a perfect example, Danny, of one of the things I love in working with you on coaching is you, just like you did right there, like in a non-judgmental way or non-overimposing way, you just like, hey, what about this idea? Right? The idea right there of, hey, what if urges for porn can go away? Right? Because it sounds like what I'm still learning perhaps, hey, what's an urge for porn versus what's just an urge for sex with my wife, right? So maybe I'm still learning that. So that's like a perfect example of one of the things I love coaching in with you is, hey, what about this idea? Instead of saying, no, this is really how it is, and this is really how we should do things. You don't do things like that. You're just like, hey, what about this idea? And then that way it allows me to like process that in a non-judgmental environment. I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe that is right. Let me experiment with that.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. That's an important part of this process because that was really important for me too when I learned this process as a client is it's really important that I get to decide for me. And the more that I see my clients as already knowing, like they know what's best for them. They can figure out what's best for them, right? So I can offer things, but I actually don't know the best way for my clients. I know some awesome things to share and offer that do help a lot of people, but all we always come back to, okay, but what resonates with you? What works with you, with where you're at now? Because if you don't do that, it doesn't stick. It's got to come from you in an authentic way. And I truly believe that the client knows best for them. What were you going to share?
Oh, so the two other things I was just going to share briefly was I really enjoyed learning from you the upper brain versus the lower brain, and that 90% of our thoughts on a daily basis just unconsciously come into our lower brain, but it's our upper brain that gets to decide on those thoughts.
Yeah.
That was huge for me and really enlightening. And the other thing that I really enjoyed learning from you was that 50-50 rule that you taught,
Yeah.
that, and I've really embraced that. I love that 50-50 rule of 50% of the time, we're going to feel comfortable. We're going to feel like we're in a good spot. But then the other 50% of the time, we're going to feel uncomfortable, and it's okay. And we can get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. Because I think before I embraced that 50-50 rule, I was always just searching for, I should always feel good. I should always feel comfortable. I should always feel like I'm in a good place. And when I wasn't, then I was really judgmental on myself. Whereas now, whenever I'm in these spots of like, I feel uncomfortable, just like, okay, I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to get comfortable that I'm uncomfortable, and that's okay. That's part of life. It's the 50-50 rule.
Yeah, that's such a powerful one, especially when one of the big drivers behind unwanted habits, like with porn, for example, is escaping uncomfortable feelings, right? Because a lot of us have just learned, like you said, I feel a negative feeling. Something must have gone wrong. This is bad. I need to feel good. I need to feel good soon. I need to fix it. And then how do we try to fix it with something that creates all these pleasure feelings in our body and is super distracting and doesn't actually address the emotional side of things, but it sure distracts and feels kind of nice for a short moment until it doesn't, right? And so when you make room for those uncomfortable feelings and get better at being with them, it removes one of those huge incentives that a lot of us have had in place in our minds to go escape with this thing called porn or whatever it is that you buffer with in your life. So thanks for sharing. That's a powerful one. Any last things that you'd want to share with the audience that you think they might want to know from you before we wrap this up?
Not really. I think I shared quite a bit, and I hope just sharing my experience, the struggles that I've had and that I'm continuing to work on and get better on. Hopefully this helps whoever's listening. So.
I really appreciate you being willing to be vulnerable in the way you are and sharing the way you are because, yeah, not everybody's willing to do that in the way that you're doing right now. It's going to make a difference for sure. You are going to impact lives. So thank you for that. Thanks for your inspiring story. Thanks for the opportunity to work with you. I absolutely loved working with you and grateful for you, man.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Take something that you learned from today and implement it. Take action on it, okay? I want you to choose something you could take action on, whether it's something that you heard from Mike and me talking today, or if it's, hey, this helps me get over the edge. I'm ready to ask for help from someone who knows how to do this, from an expert coach. Then get on my website, dannypoelman.com, Poelman, and sign up for a free consult and let's chat and figure out next steps, see if this is a fit. Okay. Take action in some way, whether it's that or something else on your own. That's what I invite you to do and keep going. The only way that you can ever really, truly fail with this kind of effort is if you give up altogether. Thanks, everybody. That's what we got for you.
If you are trying to quit an unwanted porn habit in a way that lasts, don't miss my brand new free training. It's called The Fearless Freedom from Porn Training: How to Achieve Ultimate Victory Over Porn. Discover the powerful, love-filled method to train your brain to eliminate porn cravings in under 90 days, minus the dread of relapse and exhausting willpower battles, while embracing healthy sexual desires. Join us in this transformational webinar where we'll reveal the revolutionary approach to eliminating porn cravings without the fear of relapse or the need for exhausting willpower. Understand the six real reasons you keep turning to porn and learn to address the actual issues. Discover sustainable practices to let go of unwanted habits, stop shaming and punishing yourself, and start embracing a life filled with joy and freedom. Learn from distinguished coaches on harnessing healthy sexual desires and building a future full of success and confidence. This really is an essential starting point for you. I wish I heard this stuff way earlier in the process. Click the link in the show notes now to reserve your seat right away. You can access it in a totally private and confidential way. Can't wait to see you in there.